Leaning Toward Wisdom, Season 2020, Episode 10. You are listening to Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast, Modern Tales of an Ancient Pursuit. My name is Randy Cantrell. I am your host here, coming to you from the Yellow Studio in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, where it is hot, 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 hot. Man. Monday, July the 13th, 2020. Today's episode, I'm sure there's a way forward. It is summertime in Texas, kids. I think the air temperature today is 101. I think the heat index is 110. You know, I can't complain because we've only had, I think this is our second day of triple-digit heat in Texas, and that's just, that's not bad. It is not bad for mid-July. It's not bad at all, so I'll take it. I will take it. I'm sure there's a way forward. She was in the midst of a struggle. It was fresh, which is really never the best time. I have found it's just not the best time to try to do much more than encourage. And even that, to encourage somebody when the struggle is really fresh or they're right in the middle of the struggle, that's just hard. I don't know any way around it. It's just hard. So what we did in the conversation, we reviewed the facts, the things that she knew to be true, and that's unique, and that's probably worthy of a podcast episode all of its own. No, don't worry, I'm not going to do it, at least not today. The things that we know to be true as opposed to the things that we assume might be true, or even things that we think are true, but we really don't know for sure. And at some point, I remember saying to her, I'm sure there's a way forward. Now, just because it's not apparent right now, and I probably did say this to her too in some way, shape, or form, just because it's not apparent right now does not mean that it does not exist. Figuring out ways to escape, well, they're not often apparent. In fact, I'll go you one better. I dare say most of the time they are not apparent. Escape routes just are not apparent. It's why they're escape routes. They're kind of hidden. You got to search. You got to search high and low. And you got to really devote yourself to it, you know, to this whole figuring it out stuff. I was thinking about that classic film, The Great Escape. I mean, it had a litany of stars in it. Steve McQueen was kind of the guy, the central character, The Great Escape. These guys are in a prisoner of war camp, a German camp in World War II, and they figured out there were a number of paths forward in their attempt to escape, but they were still prisoner. And it required a lot of thinking, a lot of pondering, a lot of planning, a lot of imagination, a lot of creativity, a lot of debating, a lot of figuring it out. And it, as you could well imagine, it also involved a lot of setbacks. So there's that. And a lot of risks, needless to say. I mean, if you're a POW, there's big risk in escape routes, but there's big risks in just our everyday life. Nobody said the path forward would be apparent. Nobody said the path forward would be easy. And besides all that, sometimes endurance is the path forward. Sometimes it isn't about overcoming. We like to think that we can overcome anything and everything, but the truth is we can't. Some things we just have to grind it out and endure it. I have lost some friends. I have lost close friends to fatal health issues. Well, there was no overcoming those. You're not going to overcome a fatal diagnosis. There's no overcoming every illness. But each of these people had to find a path forward so that they could more successfully endure what would be their eventuality, namely their death. Pain, sorrow, sadness, disappointment. It just goes on and on and on. We have all, everybody has experienced plenty of that. Everybody has plenty of things that we could dwell on to serve as our excuses. Because all of us have a lot of circumstances, some beyond our control, some not so much, that might compel us to embrace, well, I'm a victim here. Don't you see? I'm a pawn in somebody else's play. Someone's had their way with me. They've mistreated me. None of us are immune. A few years ago, I suffered a personal setback. The details are not important. It's one that I've alluded to in the past, and it prompted me to surround myself with older men. I'm not sexist, but I gravitated to older men. I gravitated to men 15 to 20 plus years older than me. And these were all gospel preachers. These were men that I had known all of my life. And I figured these were the guys. These were the guys who, for this particular quandary that I found myself, these were the guys that I felt could help me find a way forward. And sure enough, they did. I'm really not sure how timing works, because it's just one of those things that you can't possibly know. I am very sure about God's providence, meaning God's ability to work through the natural courses of life. My choices are my own. Do I believe that God can leverage my choices to help me and help others? Yes. It's not a miracle. It's providence. We all make up our own mind. We all make our own choices. We all behave in the way that we decide to behave. The Bible clearly teaches us that God can and does use the natural events and circumstances of life for his divine purposes, and I do believe that. The Bible bears that out. If I choose to behave poorly, it's not God's fault. He's not behind it. It's me. It's my own free will in motion. But my poor choice can still be leveraged by God to serve some purpose that might not be clear for a long time, might not ever be clear. Well, there were three of these older preachers that I leaned on, and one by one, I began to lose them. Yeah, they died. They passed on, leaving me alone. And eventually, they were all gone. Within the span of about a year, I lost them all. All three. And now I didn't hardly have any old men left in my life. It's a sad thing when you outlive your mentors, but I'm getting there. And I'm not bringing that up to lament my plight. I'm not bringing that up to pine about my situation and try to make you feel sorry for me. I am doing it to illustrate to you, though, how urgent it is for all of us. And it does not matter what you're facing today. It's urgent for all of us to find a path forward. We've got to find a way forward. My confession is that when I lost the first of these mentors, I took great comfort that I had him for as long as I had him. And I was especially thankful that I had him over the course of the prior year, because his wisdom was priceless. His wisdom was unparalleled for me. But I was also grateful that I still had two others. But through serious health concerns, I lost them too. Curveballs, right? We've all got these curveballs that get thrown to us in life. Mine came when the seemingly healthier of the two remaining, well, all of a sudden he's gone. And even though he was the oldest of the three, because the youngest one, he passed first, and it was super sudden, and none of us were expecting that. And then the second one, and none of us were expecting that. And the third one, yeah, we were all kind of expecting that. It's the way life goes. So within a short period of time, the third and final old man left the planet and entered eternity. And like I said, that one was expected, but it didn't make it any easier. Never does. And so now there were none, and my path forward, well, my long-term path forward wasn't just also clear, wasn't also apparent. It's kind of like those escape routes. During dark days of sadness and sorrow, it's hard. It's hard to find enough light so that you can see a path forward or otherwise, right? Because sometimes you can't even see the path. And I'm a lifelong insomniac, so inside the Yellow Studio, I've got this. In fact, it's burning right now. For those of you that aren't in the group, and no, this is not the Facebook group. The private Facebook group basically is no more. Long story. That's not so long, really. I mean, you guys that were here, you guys that are watching the video, you saw me before I hit the record button on the podcast. I mean, what 5 minutes? Took me 5 minutes to tell you the story. You want to hear the story, get inside the group. The way to get inside the group is go to leaningtowardwisdom.com. And then those social media icons that you see, you'll see one that's got like three figures, kind of represents community. Click on that. And it'll take you right there. Presto, you will be inside the new community, not on Facebook. I've got this red bulb burning over here in a corner. And the reason it's red, it's like an old photographer's dark room, which I know completely dates me. I'm not a photographer, and I have been in a dark room before. But the red bulb, it won't mess up developing film, but you can still see. Well, for me, it provides enough light for me to see at night when I'm up and can't sleep, which is like every night. But it doesn't illuminate the whole house, so it doesn't wake Rhonda up. But it gives me, you know, it's got this nice red glow. The problem is I can struggle if I leave the Yellow Studio and I go like from here to the kitchen and there's no lights on. I mean, man alive. I can remember where furniture is, but I come out of here and I'm like, okay, my eyes aren't adjusted, and it's kind of hard to make your way just from one end of the house to the other. But if I wait a little bit, here's the key. If I wait a little bit, if I will leave the Yellow Studio, leave the glow of the red light, and I go just 10 feet away from it, and if I'll just stand there and just give myself a few seconds, I can kind of sort of, well, I can see enough to navigate in the dark. I can make my way safely to the kitchen, and I don't bump my shin on anything. Sometimes I rush it. And I just kind of walk normally out of here, having been involved in bathed in this red glow for hours, and my eyes are completely not adjusted to complete darkness, and I'll walk into a sofa. One night I walked into the wall sideways. I had no idea that I was that close to the wall on my right, and I walked right into it. Life is exactly the same way. I think not just for me, but I think for all of us. And we all hear the admonition, if only to ourselves, during times of terrific stress, give it time. Give it time. And we don't want to give it time. But if I step out and I give it time and I let my eyes adjust, it makes all the difference in the world. And we've all been given that admonition. I know it's difficult. It's difficult sometimes when it's happening to us, and we want to get past whatever the challenge is now, the hurdle, the pain, the sorrow, the whatever. We just want to get on. We want to get past it. You know, unfortunately, our minds don't work that way. Time just doesn't suddenly make something better, but it does give us time to make some adjustments. It gives us time to process what is happening to us and to get our head kind of wrapped around it to let our vision adjust to these new surroundings, these new circumstances, this new situation that I now find myself in. And I think it does something equally powerful in that it gives us time to grow our confidence and our belief, to hopefully become more sure that there is a way forward. Even though I have no clue what that is, time does afford us the opportunity to come to the conclusion there is, there must be. And now I just got to get busy figuring that out. On Friday morning this past week, July the 10th, 2020, I'd been up most of the night and was working on this particular episode and was pretty much done with it. In fact, was planning on recording, so that was Friday, was pretty much planning to get it recorded sometime over the weekend, but then this happened. Friday morning, it was about 9:30 or so, and my son texted my wife and I news of some church friends that we have in Missouri. They're about our age. And their son-in-law, one of their son-in-laws, obviously married to their daughter, he had passed away tragically in a car accident. A young family, 5 kids, a son, 4 daughters, and all of a sudden he's gone. Devastated, just devastated. Parents, in-laws, grandparents, a wife, 5 kids. You just start thinking of all the people whose lives are impacted now because one young man under 40 left the planet. And I'm sitting here, I'm working on this episode. I'm pretty much done, but I'm kind of noodling over the notes. And I mean, I'm sitting here doing a podcast on, I'm sure there's a way forward. And I didn't really know this young man. I knew of him, but I know the couple whose daughter is married to him. And my kids and her kind of grew up knowing each other. And all I could think was, well, I know there is a way forward. And I know because they are all Christians, we're Christians, I know that God is going to be at the forefront of whatever that path forward looks like for this poor family. I'm confident in these people because I know them. I know that the faith will remain. But in this moment, as I'm sitting there on Friday, and now here it is Monday, and I haven't changed my opinion. I mean, this is still all so ridiculously fresh. The sorrow is overwhelming. The grief is overwhelming. And yet deep down inside, I know that the adults are growing every day more confident that there is a way forward. And I know as a parent and a grandparent, I know largely what is at the forefront? 5 kids. 5 kids, all under the age of 8. And if for no other reason, there is a way forward because we've got these kids. We've got to protect and provide for these kids. And I don't mean just financially. It's not important for them to see that right now. So we're talking Friday all day, Saturday, and Sunday all day, and now Monday. So we're 4 days removed. And you can think, 4 days, it needs time. It just needs time. It's not important that the escape route, it's not important that the path forward is clear today. The grief and the sorrow right now, too intense. Just too intense. Give it time. Give it time. The quandary of the path forward is universal. And the quandary is simply how. How? This family, perhaps you and your family, you may be stuck thinking, but how? How? How are we going to find the path forward? And then that may be followed by, and when? When are we going to find the path forward? Human brain power is pretty amazing in so many ways. I've said it more times than I care to admit, but I find myself saying it all the time here at the podcast as well as in other situations. I mean, I so wish I had the brain power as a young person to have, and had the interest as a young person to commit myself to neuroscience, but A, I don't have the brain power for it, which is kind of ironic, isn't it? And I just, I'm not a hard science and math guy. But as human beings, I know this. I've studied it enough to know that we are especially adept at coming to terms with things, even sudden, tragic things. And while I realize that our knees buckle and we are often crippled at the moment, we do mostly, not all, but we do mostly rise to our feet sooner than later. And oftentimes, I think, sooner than maybe we would expect. We figure out ways to cope. We figure out ways to manage. We figure out paths forward because, by and large, human beings are resilient. We just are. And if you don't believe me, be in a room with an older person or be in the room with someone who is dying, and you watch how hard the physical body works to hang on and to stay alive. Well, something else happened on Friday, July the 10th, just this past Friday. And thankfully, it was something that was far more positive than the tragedy that I just told you about. Dan Miller has a podcast, and he released a new episode, 48 Days to the Work You Love. Dan Miller is a Franklin, Tennessee guy. Well, he's fixing to move to Florida, so you'll only be able to say he's a Franklin, Tennessee guy here. Well, maybe you can't even say it now. I don't know. But Dan Miller has been in Franklin, Tennessee for as long as I've been aware, and is, I guess, going to hang up some semblance of his spurs and go to Florida and maybe call it a day. I don't know. But he wrote a book called 48 Days to the Work You Love, and he has a podcast by that same name. I have not listened to this episode yet, and I don't listen to every episode. I have confessed to you that during this pandemic, I don't know that I've listened to a single episode of any podcast, including my own. But I did see the headline, and I keep up with Dan's work, and I'm a bit of a fan. Can your beliefs take you this far? Okay, well, that got my attention. Of course, I'm working on this, right? Can your beliefs take you this far? And I read the short show notes, and this may have been in an email that Dan sent out to the episode. And of course, it got my attention because here's what the copy said. This week, I received the most amazing testimonial story I've ever received. A teenage girl who has been in a wheelchair for 4 years read 48 Days to the Work You Love, got inspired, hopeful, and began walking with the aid of only a walker. The power of belief opens our eyes, ears, minds, and spirits to a bigger future. We'll talk about the power of a mind made up. Dan inserted another headline because I go then over to the podcast website in the show notes, and there's the headline, The Power of Belief. The Power of Belief. I mean, there's so many daily illustrations of the power of belief, of a mind made up to find a path forward. ABC News, and this also happened on this same Friday, July the 10th. Something was going on with July the 10th, with Friday. And I thought I was pretty much done with the show, right? So here I am front-loading these things that happened after I thought, well, I'm done. ABC News on Friday ended their newscast talking about a young man who couldn't get into any college. So in his desperation, he takes a job working on a garbage truck. And he goes to work every morning at 4 a.m., finds himself surrounded by people who you would think, okay, well, are these the most ambitious people? They were for him. They were for him. They saw something in this young man, and so they encouraged him, you need to find a way forward. You need to find a way forward toward your dreams of going to college. He had been turned down by every college he had applied for or to. Well, he found his way. He found his way into college. He continued to work double shifts on the garbage truck. GPA, 4.0. And the story ended with him sitting with his friends. He's got his laptop open. It was pretty terrific. And he's fixing to open this email to find out whether or not he'd been accepted to the Harvard Law School. And he opens the email, and of course, the answer is yes. And he, you know, these three guys are just, these two friends of his are just, they are as thrilled or more thrilled than he is for him. Here's a young man that goes from having no prospects to being admitted to the most prestigious law school in the world. More evidence of the power of a mind made up. Proof that we can decide to believe something as fact. That something being, I'm sure there's a way forward toward this dream, toward whatever. I'm sure there's a way forward. We're just not sure what it is. We're not sure when we'll find it. There are days that we may not even be sure if we'll find it. Which really just means one thing. You know this means just one thing. The one thing that this means is, it's just an endurance test, kids. This is just one big endurance test. This is a test of wills that leaves us with a challenge. How committed are we going to be to whatever challenges we face? Whatever hurdles, whatever obstacles, whatever woeful thing that somebody's done to you or everybody around you. If everybody around you has mistreated you, okay, now what are you going to do? Because it's going to take however long it's going to take for us, A, to make up our mind that we're going to find a way forward, and two, to figure out the way. So it's an endurance test. Springtime in 2020. Question, is this pandemic teaching us anything? Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And of course, most of it isn't very good, but we're still learning. We're still learning because, well, this thing ain't over. It appears to be far from over. Here in Texas, we're just breaking records. Florida, well, they're making us look like we're pikers and we're right behind them. Is there a way forward past this pandemic? Well, just about everybody thinks so. But that's about the only common ground you're going to find, because you're not going to hear people agree on much of anything. I mean, otherwise, it's a sea of conflicting opinions where half truths and lies and conspiracy theories and scientific evidence and medical experience and expertise and just every other form of insight seems to serve to elevate that noise floor so loud that you can't even think. Well, and thinking's overrated anyway, isn't it? Far better to just spew forth some opinion that I've got based on, I don't know, just that's just what I think. So it must be right. Well, of course it's right, because you're thinking. How could it be otherwise? Oh, man. Logic tells us this. Everybody can't be right. Right? There's hardly any agreement about anything. Well, can they all be right? Well, no. And I've already told you, I lack the mental brain horsepower to be a neuroscientist. I absolutely lack the mental horsepower to know about a pandemic. Listen, not only am I not the smartest guy in the room, when it comes to COVID-19 discussions, I'm not even qualified to find the room. I can't find the room where the smart people are who talk about it. Oh, I know Karen on Facebook. She's in the room. She's leading the discussion. I've learned this much, though, thanks to the pandemic. The highly opinionated, they have become more so. I've thought about this, and yes, I have surveyed my Facebook friends. And the people that are highly opinionated now, they were highly opinionated before, just more so now. I don't know anybody, at least in my frame of reference, who, well, man, they're highly opinionated, and they were never highly opinionated. It hasn't done that. It has just exaggerated the highly opinionated. The moderately opinionated, now there's a group, because in many, many, many cases, the moderately opinionated, which is completely subjective, I know, they have become, in many cases, highly opinionated. So it is absolutely, okay, bumped you up. Congratulations, you've moved up a class. Those that fall below the moderately opinionated line, I've noticed it's done something to that group too. Because that middle group and this group, they have sort of kind of changed their behavior. Moderately opinionated, many of them, okay, I'm gonna turn it up a notch. Those that are below that, those that, most everything is, have become increasingly quiet. They're like, yeah, okay, I'm out. Yeah, okay, there is another common ground that I'm leaving out. Frustration. All of the above. And many others that I fail to identify. Come on, it's three categories. I realize there's nuances to all of this. Everybody is frustrated. Everybody is frustrated almost to the point of losing their minds. Well, many, I would argue many of them have already lost their, what little mind they had, it's gone. They've completely lost it. Google is your friend, they say. Okay. Just do a search, they say. Okay, well, that's not helping. Because you can find somebody, well, likely you can find a whole lot of somebodies who will support whatever opinion you have. It doesn't matter. Do this for me, because I did it. Type in the phrase, I think the earth is flat. Type that phrase into Google, and here's what you find. I just copied and pasted it. About 185 million results in 0.46 seconds. In less than half a second, 185 million results. I think the earth is flat. I'm just saying. Just saying. The point is not to challenge whatever your opinion may be on the pandemic. Hello, did I say that right? On the pandemic? I should edit that, but I'm not going to because I'm lazy like that. I'm not challenging your opinion on it because, frankly, I don't care. I don't even care what my opinion is, so why would I give a hoot what yours is? I'm just doing it to demonstrate why believing in and finding a path forward is so, so stinking hard these days, especially. Because we're often so busy, we're just shouting at each other. We're calling each other names. Yeah, okay. I'm hands in the air. I'm guilty. I'm absolutely guilty. Because many of you realize you've heard me use the ninny word. And yes, the URL surrounded by ninnies.com. Type it in. Ninnies is spelled N-I-N-N-I-E-S. Like it should be. The only way that a non-ninny would spell ninny. You know, seriously, we just don't give hardly anybody much consideration these days. Well, unless they agree with us. Well, then I'll give you all the consideration in the world. Man, you're spot on. I agree with you. You're right. The path forward is rarely smooth. It's rarely flat. It is rarely high speed. Just saying. I mean, I've lived 63 years on the planet now. So from my perspective, I could be wrong. Maybe your path forward is always smooth. Maybe it's always flat. Maybe it's always high speed. I've not found that to be true for myself or anybody that I've ever known. It's less like this nice manicured racetrack, and it's more like this mountain terrain full of rocks and stumps and trees and obstacles and hurdles. I can prove it, but you need to join me. The only way I'm going to be able to do this is you're going to have to play along. You're going to have to look in your own life. I want you to think of a time when you were at a loss about moving forward. You were just completely bumfuzzled. about moving forward, a time when you had to lean on somebody who was safe for you. I want you to think about this. Now, I'm defining safety in a person. I'm defining somebody who's safe as somebody that you know they are not going to use anything against you. All right, that's safe. They are simply there to help you without any regard for an outcome other than your best. Now, safe doesn't mean that they agree with everything. Safe doesn't mean that anything that you do, anything that you say, they're like, oh yeah, that's great, that's wonderful, keep doing that. No, I mean safe in that they are people who will challenge you. So go ahead, get this in your mind, a time when this was your circumstance. Maybe it's right now. Now hold it there. And let's think more clearly and more deeply about what is happening to you in this moment. I'm thinking of my own times when I was facing a challenge that tested my belief in being able to move forward or find a path forward. And I suppose deep down I knew I could move forward, but I wasn't certain about it. Okay, let's describe it that way. Confidence really, really low. There have been times when I didn't even know what my next step ought to be. You ever been in that situation? If you're any age at all, the answer is probably yes. Not only could you not find a way forward, you had doubts that you could find a way forward, and you'd have been happy to just know what should I really do next? Forget long term. I just need to figure out the very next step. I mean, when you can't figure out the very next step, well, it's no wonder that you're not real sure about how to figure out the path forward. I'm thinking of my three older mentors that I described earlier who've all gone on now. They were my first phone calls throughout my life. All right, so to just give you some context. And a couple of years ago when facing a big dilemma, one by one, I contacted these guys. And I told each one of them, here's what's happened, here's how I feel, and here's what I'm thinking about doing. And separate and independent from one another. And all three of these guys were completely safe for me. That's important. But one by one, separate and apart from one another, they challenged me. And every single one of them, and there were some others that were younger, but these three older guys, they disagreed with me. Every single one of them disagreed with me. And I was floored. I was completely stunned. I absolutely, positively, knowing that they loved me and cared for me, I absolutely would have, if I were a betting man, and I'm not, I would have wagered everything I'd ever earned, these guys will completely support how I'm feeling. Well, they didn't. They didn't. In fact, said the youngest of them, the one who died first, well, you could do that, but I think it would be a mistake. Well, that'll get your attention. Separate and apart, each one of them told me the same thing in a different sort of way. And for months and months, they challenged me by disagreeing with me. Well, they pushed me with their knowledge. They pushed me with their insights. They pushed me with their experience. They peppered me with questions. A lot of questions to help me think through my problem. Repeated phone calls, countless hours and hours of phone calls, seemed to just blend into one long, extended, protracted conversation designed to push me forward into thinking more clearly than I was thinking. And I thought I was thinking pretty clearly. Well, don't we all? So I spent the better part of a year talking with these guys, studying, reading, thinking, rehearsing, regurgitating back to them what they were telling me and what they were trying to teach me. And frequently, I respectfully pushed back and I would tell them, well, here's what I think and here's what I've been thinking and here's what I believe. And each time they would listen and they would understand and they would offer a counter argument that I just could not refute. I tried. I refuted some more. I really was refuting early on. A lot of pushback. It was respectful. They were my elders. But, I mean, does any of that resonate with you? Have you ever experienced anything like that? A time when somebody safe challenged you by disagreeing with you, and you were flummoxed. You thought, what do you mean? What do you mean you don't support what I'm saying, what I believe to be true? I thought you'd be all over this. You know, I really was. I was honestly expecting to be cheered on. That's what I was expecting, and it's so not what I got. And now that I look back, well, man, what a gift. What a gift. I've described a challenge that was a big problem, but the more I thought about it, even lesser challenges have produced great, great growth because safe people decided they were going to put my needs first and disagree and say, I don't think you're seeing this the way you should be seeing it. I think you've got this wrong. I don't think you're looking at this right. And I've been on the other end. I've been on the other end with some who find me to be their safe person or a safe person. And I have been able to serve them when listening and understanding what they've said to me. And I have been able to, thankfully, be on the giving end of that and say to them, I'm not sure you're seeing this clearly. And I've been able to pepper some other folks with questions like I was peppered. Nothing in these safe conversations is confrontational. Nothing in these is strife-oriented, is a conflict. Nothing in them is pushing an agenda. Nothing is pushing an opinion. Nothing in these conversations was about anything other than three older guys wanting my best. And there it is. What you ask? The point. Have a point. It's so much nicer for the audience when you have a point. I'm sure there's a way forward. There's the point. I'm sure there's a way forward for myself, for people that I care about, for the people I may not care about. There's a way forward. And the way forward doesn't depend on my view of anybody. It doesn't depend on your view of anybody either. But here's what it does depend on. Here's what does matter. Your way forward hinges on how you view yourself. And it's dramatically impacted by how well the safe people around you serve you. Don't diminish their value because it's priceless. Part of that is on you and your openness to let the right people help you and to stay away from the wrong people. Because, come on, we're human. And what we like is we like people that support us, that agree with us. Okay, what if that's not in our best interest? Like these three older gentlemen. It wasn't in my best interest for them to go, yeah, do that. That'd be great. Shake their pom-poms. No, they didn't do that. And there was nothing in it for them, one way or the other. The outcome was for me. And that's why they were safe. Peer-novation. Peer-novation, it's a term you haven't seen. It's a term you probably haven't ever heard. Peer-novation, P-E-E-R, like a peer, peer-to-peer. Novation, N-O-V-A-T-I-O-N. It's the name of a podcast that I produce with partner Leo Battari. Leo has a book coming out here in a number of months by the same title, Peer-novation. And the tagline that Leo came up with for the podcast, the power of we begins with you. Okay, so let's start there. Let's start with you. Let's start with me. Let's start with us as individual people. This focus on self is not selfish, and that's important to the conversation. It's necessary. It's necessary because our path forward is, well, it's our path. It belongs to us. Doesn't belong to anybody else. It's personal responsibility. It's personal accountability. This is about each one of us accepting responsibility for ourselves and for our choices, for our lives, for our thoughts, for our beliefs, for our concerns, for our choices, for our beliefs, our behaviors, all of it. Yes, we are absolutely influenced by other people, but we have our own lives to live, and for good or bad or indifferent, we live the way we choose to live. Now, for too many, the path forward is hidden. It's camouflaged. And it is camouflaged largely by self-pity and by repeated poor choices, because we get into this victim thinking. Because unlike the three men who served me well by disagreeing with me, we can decide, I'm not going to listen. If you're not going to agree with me, then I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to find people who will sympathize with me. I'm going to find people who will say, yes, yes, you're right. And you know what? Those people don't care about us. I have found, life has taught me, those people by and large don't care about, unless that expression is completely truthful, honest, and genuine, and authentic. But by and large, people just are polite and they listen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, poor. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, it's awful. Oh, that was, I'm so sad that that happened for you. Hang up the phone, walk away from the conversation, out of sight, out of mind, moved on. Not my three guys. My three guys were in this with me. They were eating, drinking, and sleeping this thing with me. That's how much they cared. Okay, that's a whole different deal. That is a whole different deal. Victim thinking is so insidious because it robs people of the power necessary to move forward. We can't move forward. How can you move forward when you're stuck in the past? How can you move forward when you're stuck on what somebody did to you? Whether they really did or not, whether they intended to or not, doesn't matter. You got it in your head that you're a victim. You got it in your head, they've wronged me. They've wronged me. And I'm in this spot right now. I'm in this pickle right now. I'm in a situation where I need to find a path forward because you put me here. Okay. It's not congruent. It's not congruent. The path forward can't be remaining stuck in the past. You got to pick one or the other. You can't pick both. You can't be both. You can't do both. Forgiveness, there's a subject that leaps to my mind. Because in so many of the conversations I have as a safe person trying to help other people, it just seems to bubble to the surface really quickly in trying to find a path forward. Our willingness, not our ability, because frankly, forgiveness is within all of our power. We got the power to do it. We just might not be willing to do it. To forgive, it helps us move forward. Or, here's what it does for way too many people. It cements us in our past. It can be manifested in a word, regret. Regret. If only I would have done this. Our moving forward, it's like that. It depends on us making up our mind that we are going to do it, even though we have no idea how, and we have no idea when, but it's going to happen. The Great Escape, they worked day after day after day. They dug tunnel after tunnel after tunnel. They got found out. A plan got foiled. They just had to keep digging. Got to keep working it. Got to keep figuring this out. There is a path forward. It's just up to us to figure that out. That's what moving forward is all about. And until or unless we make up our mind, nothing else matters. Now, we can be surrounded by the safest people on the planet, and we should be. We need them. And these people, they can encircle us who love us and who care about us and are willing to do everything in their power to help us, which doesn't mean they cheer us on. Doesn't mean that they accept everything that we say as gospel, and it doesn't mean that they agree with us. Sometimes they challenge us. But if we don't make up our mind to move forward, all of that help. If I don't make up my mind to move forward, my three now deceased mentors, their help was for nothing. Once we make up our mind that we are going to do everything in our power to move forward, then other people can be of extraordinary, tremendous service to help us find a way. I want you to keep one small, but this is an important detail in your mind, and it's other people. These people with whom we feel the safest, they can influence us. They can persuade us to make up our mind. You ever had that happen to you? Man, I've had that happen plenty. Times where, okay, until you make up your mind, nothing happens. Okay, well, I'm struggling to make up my mind. Well, safe people have frequently helped me make up my mind. And we don't do that in spite of ourselves. We do it because these safe people have been there to serve us, and they are able to see things more clearly, and they are able to help us see things more clearly. And it's that clarity. That clarity is really, really useful for us to make up our mind. Or in many cases, as for me in my situation with these three guys who each disagreed with me early on and challenged me, they were very, very useful in helping me change my mind. I would never discount the power of other people to help us or to hurt us. And sadly, the opposite of those safe people are the unsafe people. They are the people who will intentionally use anything and everything against you. They are also the people who will just be passive cheerleaders. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're poor, pitiful you. And that helps you move forward how? The way forward requires us to ditch these unsafe people and to embrace the safe folks. You know, it's kind of like the oath that doctors take to first do no harm. Do no harm. Each of us is responsible to stop doing harm to ourselves and to other people. We have to accept personal responsibility for our own lives, and that includes how our lives also impact the lives of other people. Well, let's concentrate for a minute on the first part of the statement. I'm sure. What words leap out to your mind? For me, the words were confidence and belief. Confidence and belief are really important. I have found that they're important in pretty much anything you want to name. And they deserve to be rooted in truth and in wisdom. You know, those folks who believe that the earth is flat, I Googled, what was that phrase I Googled? You know, something about believing in flat earth. These poor people are deluded. They are not seeing this issue clearly. Now, they're confident. They are confident. But their confidence is outside of truth and wisdom. I don't care if you're religious or not, but just bear with me. Listen to some Old Testament scripture. I'm going to read four of them. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. This is about flat earth. Isaiah 40, 22. It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Job chapter 26, verse 7. He stretches out the north over the void and hangs the earth on nothing. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 27. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. Job chapter 26, verse 10. He has inscribed a circle on the face of the waters at the boundary between light and darkness. Couple that with the fact that there are photographs from space, countless, countless photographs, that clearly show the earth is a globe, a ball, round. Okay, I can choose to deny these simple, straightforward facts, evidence, but it only proves I'm not thinking clearly. That's what this proves. It doesn't prove anything but the fact you're not seeing and thinking clearly, like me. In that problem that I had when I went to these three old guys. Humans, all of us, have the ability to feel and think and believe whatever we choose. Doesn't make it real. Doesn't make it true. Certainly doesn't make it wise. The same goes for our view of a forward path. I can choose to think there is no forward path. There is no way forward. I can't possibly survive this. I can close my mind to the prospect that I will get past a certain hurdle, past a certain challenge. I can choose to avoid looking at an opportunity as an opportunity. The world is completely open to me to view it completely any way I choose. My certainty about a thing influences my commitment to that thing, regardless whether it's accurate or not. And when it comes to moving forward, the question has to be asked, is this certainty in my best interest? Is this certainty in my best interest? Does this certainty serve me? And if so, how? Because I got asked that. I was pretty confident. I pick up the phone. I call mentor number one. Here's my situation. Here's what happened. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's what I'm thinking about doing. Well, you could do that. I'm not sure it'd be right. I'm like, what? Wait a minute. What? What do you mean you're not sure it would be right? Ring, ring. Call the second one. A real similar conversation. Call the third one. A real similar conversation. Call a younger mentor. Yeah, I got younger ones. Well, come on. You live long enough. You got to go younger at that position. And I get the exact same kind of a thing. And I'm like, okay, I got four complete independent people that I know, love, and trust, and they absolutely want what's best for me, and none of them agree with me. I mean, this is not serving me. Me continuing to be determined to think the way I'm thinking is not serving me. My heart aches for people who are stuck in some past prison of their own making. People who are, I started to say unable, but let's check that. People unwilling to move forward because their certainty, their inaccurate certainty, shackles them in ways that no prison ever possibly could. It traps them into being victims their entire lives. In their mind, it is an absolute positive fact. And nobody is able to help them see it more clearly because they will not open their eyes. They choose to see their life the way they want. I could have done that. I could have argued and I could have hung up and gotten angry and said, well, you guys are all, you're all wrong. You're all out of your mind. Because we can't see it. We don't want to see it. Delusion has a lot of causes. A lot of things can cause us to be deluded. Preconceived notions, medications, drugs, alcohol, mental illness, selfishness, hard-headedness, rebelliousness, immaturity, on and on. I mean, it's an endless list, right? And we can all be prone to those things. It's the only group for whom I am not sure if there is a way forward. Those people, the deluded people, I'm not sure if there is a way forward. I'm more sure there's not until they make up their mind that they're going to expand their vision and give themselves some permission like I did. Maybe I'm not seeing this right. Maybe I'm wrong. People committed to their delusion or to their potential, and that's an important term, I think, their potential wrong view. Maybe it's not wrong, but can you at least give license to the fact that it could be wrong? You might be seeing it wrong. I was completely dead, rock solid sure that I had it right. I picked up the phone, called these three guys, four, and I was dead solid certain that I had it right. But I at least found something. I know why. Because they had such influence. They had such safety. I just knew that these are not guys that are going to lie to me. These are guys that love me, care about me, and want my best. And if they're telling me this, I better stop and I better think about this. I better give myself permission to be wrong. People who refuse to consider the possibility, no matter how remote, that they could be wrong, it's a dangerous, dangerous place. And when we get to that place, hard to move forward. We like to think that we are rational. And by the way, that doesn't mean that we're devoid of emotions. Because only robots and machines, I guess, are capable of that. But it does mean that we prefer to think that we're reasonable. We think that we're logical. And we think that, you know, others can reason with us and that we're capable of reasoning with them and we're capable certainly of reasoning with ourselves, that we can listen, we can understand, we can figure out if we've got something wrong. And if we're highly opinionated, it means that we're very committed to our viewpoint. And we are likely so committed to our viewpoint, we're not going to listen to a contrary opinion. That's what defines a highly opinionated person. And it's why highly opinionated people don't tend to be open-minded. It's why highly opinionated people are very difficult people to have discussions with. You can't have a conversation unless the conversation is complete acquiescing or agreement. Too many are closed-minded to the prospect that their opinion might not be correct. It might be misinformed. Who among us is incapable of being helped? Just one group that I know of. Those of us that refuse to be helped. And for all the rest of us, I'm sure, I'm absolutely dead solid sure, there is a way forward, because there is. Henry Ford, his famous quote, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. All right, let's start winding this down, put a cap on it, and let's make the focus you, and let's try to see if we can help you find confidence to move forward and find a path forward. So allow me to just give you a few suggestions, and that's all these are. They're just suggestions, because I have found these things helpful, and maybe you will too. Number one, don't be afraid of having your thoughts, your beliefs, your assumptions, and your opinions tested. And I start with this one because I don't find anything more important than this one. The truth will hold up. Get this. The truth will hold up. So unless you are fearful of the truth, there's nothing to fear. Think about this. There is nothing to fear. Having things pressure tested is fine. Don't be committed to a delusion. It's not the way forward. I could have been committed to, this is what I feel, this is what I think, this is what I'm going to do. I'm just calling you to let you know. That wasn't the conversation. This is what happened to me. This is what I think. This is how I feel. This is what I'm going to do. What do you think? An instant pushback. Instant, well, they all said, I don't agree with you. And most of them said it just like that. Okay. My thoughts, my beliefs, my assumptions, my opinions got tested. They didn't hold up. What's wrong with that? Well, I was the big beneficiary of that. Secondly, enlist safe people. Again, these are people that you are confident will not use anything against you. They only want your best. Doesn't mean you see it that way, right? It's not fun when people that you really love and admire disagree with you. But boy, there's growth there. And it doesn't mean that you will agree with them at first, or maybe ever, nor does it mean you have to. Number three, listen. Listen, listen, listen. Do it with the intention of hearing and understanding. Firstly, to better understand where you might not be seeing things as clearly as you could. Secondly, to allow your inner circle to help you question things so that you can figure out the truth. Number four, resist the urge to hold on to the past. It's huge. I get it. That includes the things that don't withstand the wise challenges. And this may be harder than you first think, because it includes pet things. And that can include anything, especially those things that can blind us to the truth, or those things that can blind us to what's real. Listen, it happens with substances, it happens with sins, it happens with relationships, it happens with anything that we just refuse to give up, even though it's destructive and getting in our way. Number five, commit to act on what you've learned. Listening, understanding, and learning, that's great, you got to have it, but it doesn't do you a lick of good if you don't intend to do anything with it. You've got to commit to acting. Number six, lean into making positive changes. do it with confidence that you will figure it out. You will figure it out, even though you are unsure about every step along the way. Based on your learning, you've just got to come to the point where you have an idea of how to start. Next step. What's the very next step? That's all you got to know. So begin. Take the first step. Number 7, make adjustments along the way. Because you're committed to your growth. You're committed to learning. You're committed to figuring this out. Continue to lean on these safe people. Because they've helped you get this far. They'll help get you further. Keep questioning things. Keep letting them question things. Keep pressure testing everything. Because the truth is at stake. Clarity, clear vision is at stake. Number 8, all along the way, stop judging yourself and others. That doesn't mean that you fail to make discernments. We have to do that. We have to make some judgments in that sense. It means that you avoid harsh judgments. Don't put people in doghouses from which they can never escape. It won't make you better. And I hope you're pushing forward. I hope whatever you're going through right now, I hope that you are pushing forward to find a way forward. And during this pandemic, I do understand that it's harder. It's harder. But I wonder, what's our better option? What is our better option? I don't see that we have one. And if you've got one, well, boy, am I ready to hear it. And there it is. Episode 10. Yeah, the people on the video just saw me not unmute my mic. You want to see the video? Hey, get in the community, because it's the only way you're going to see it. Just saying. Season 2020, episode 10. I'm sure there's a way forward. And I am. And I got enough confidence in you that you believe that too, and you'll find one. I hope your problems and your challenges are small. But I get that, you know, any kind of a crowd, no matter how big, no matter how small, listening to a podcast, the odds are pretty heavy. Somebody's going through something pretty major. And if you are, I hope it helped. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. The community, it's that very first little social media icon that you'll see in the navigation. It's just... It's, you'll see it. You'll know which one to click. My name is Randy Cantrell. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your attention. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.